ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. New fallout after a photo was published in the New York Times showing a flag flown upside down at Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito's home just days before the inauguration of Joe Biden. It typically symbolizes a nation in chaos.
The Democratic chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee says Samuel Alito should recuse himself from any cases involving January 6th defendants, including Donald Trump. It comes as Alito acknowledges to the New York Times that an American flag was flown upside down outside his Northern Virginia home days after the January 6th attack. That same symbol of distress was carried by rioters into the Capitol. Alito says his wife flew the inverted flag to get back at a neighbor who had posted an anti-Trump sign.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Texas officials still assessing the widespread damage caused by last night's deadly storms, with hurricane-force winds ripping through Houston. More than 700,000 still without power. And stocks are up, and the Dow is flirting with the 40,000 mark again today. This is ABC News. Tensions are escalating in the skies above the Korean Peninsula.
South Korean and U.S. fighters in drills over central South Korea. The F-35s and F-22s alternating between attack and defense modes. Riled by the activity, which it sees as an invasion rehearsal, the North then fired suspected short-range ballistic missiles off its east coast. In recent months, it's extended its weapons testing as part of its efforts to enlarge and modernize its capabilities while diplomacy remains stalled. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A warning from Sony Music Group to artificial intelligence companies. In a letter to 700 AI developers, Sony Music is prohibiting them from using its music for training or developing AI without explicit permission. The company asked the AI developers to provide details of its music used by next week. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Another dismembered body part has been located along Lake Michigan, this time in Illinois. Police in Waukegan say an arm was spotted along a lakeside beach there. The Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office says they've contacted the family of Sade Robinson about that discovery, though there'll be no confirmation on who the arm belongs to until DNA results are returned. Several of Robinson's remains were found around Milwaukee County since she was reported missing following a first date she had with 33-year-old Maxwell Anderson on April 1st. Anderson is charged with first-degree intentional homicide, mutilating a corpse in connection with the 19-year-old woman's death. Meanwhile, Anderson's attorneys will receive more time to review the case. In court Thursday, Anderson's defense attorney, Anthony Cotton, says they've been provided a hard drive from the state with police reports, surveillance video, and crime lab reports.
The state has been very good about providing discovery to the defense. There have been really no communication issues or anything of that nature. But once I have the material reviewed, then we'll be prepared to schedule accordingly.
Anderson will return to court in mid-July. That's a decision that frustrates Robinson's family.
Just wanting closure and wanting this to be able to move forward quickly.
One person is dead after police respond to a stabbing in Beloit. The Wisconsin Department of Justice says when police found a woman who had been stabbed, they also spotted another person at the scene who was armed with what authorities call an edged weapon. When that person threatened to harm a second person supposedly in the home, an officer used a less lethal option to subdue them. When that didn't work, a second officer shot the armed person, who died at the scene. The woman who was stabbed is hospitalized in stable condition. Police later found no one inside the home. One officer was treated for minor injuries. The officers involved are on administrative leave. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
It's not how fast you mow, it's how well you mow fast. Tractor Central's Model Year 2023 Green Tag Closeout offers big savings on new John Deere riding lawn tractors and zero-turn mowers. While supplies last, you'll save $300 on remaining X300 series lawn tractors, $500 to $700 on garden tractors, up to $1,000 on John Deere zero-turn mowers. Get started today at TractorCentral.com. Offer ends June 3rd, 2024.
It's a John Deere day.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Abundant sunshine today and summer-like temperatures for the entire weekend. In fact, today we'll climb to the upper 70s and flirt with 80 degrees, and then we soar into the mid-80s for tomorrow. Chances of showers and thunderstorms fire up in the afternoon. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 72.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Farm Journal's Pork, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, thank you, Davis. It seems like just yesterday we were somehow closer, it's almost like I could see you as we were doing the show yesterday.
If there would be some way that we could recover that closeness, you know, yes. I really feel like it would creep us both out. This might be for the best.
Oh, buddy, it was good to see you yesterday.
Man, it was so much fun. Yeah. Remember back in the day, we used to sit across the desk just broadcasting into each other's faces.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That was a while ago already. And
it was. Yep.
Here we are. Here we are, as you said, back in our respective bunkers and ready to rock and roll on a free-for-all. The House dropped details of its version of the farm bill. And we're going to talk some of those details and make sure that you understand why it is being described as a quote-unquote farmer-friendly bill. And Jim Wiesmeyer and I, earlier this morning, had a conversation with Chairman of the House Ag Committee, Glenn G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania. And we asked him several questions of what's next. How are you going to move this bill through the congressional process? And some interesting conversation with the chairman coming up for you here in the next segment.
Can I toot our agri horn just a little bit? Is it all right to talk about this? This was an exclusive,
sure.
Right?
With
G.T. Thompson, and they reached out to us and said, "Hey, man, we want you guys to convey this message for us." Am I characterizing that correctly? This is a huge deal for AgriTalk and for our listeners too. We get the scoop.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's what we do. We try to bring you the best, most complete, and if need be, exclusive coverage.
Yep. We'll
and
do it.
We've got some for you today.
You bet.
On the farm bill with the chairman of the House Ag Committee. Okay. Boy, let's get to the news.
Yeah. I'm going to start with the weather. The National Weather Service is calling for heavy to excessive rainfall for eastern Louisiana into central Alabama, which could bring flash, urban, and riverine flooding Friday. Scattered severe thunderstorms with a few tornadoes, very large hail, and damaging winds are possible across parts of the Gulf Coast states Friday and into Friday night. And, Chip, some major damage in Houston overnight last night.
Yeah, and lives lost. The weather can be scary, and it certainly is along the Gulf Coast right now.
Yep. The Wheat Quality Council HRW Wheat Tour estimated the Kansas wheat yield at 46.5 bushels per acre. Chip, that's the highest since 2021, and above the five-year average of 42.4 bushels per acre. Mm-hmm. Crop quality reportedly varied drastically across the state, with wheat in the drier south central and southwestern portions of Kansas in the poorest condition. Other areas had green, lush fields. Scouts noted stripe rust in some areas of the state. 46.5 for the state of Kansas, Chip.
Yeah, it looks like a good crop. It may not be a great crop because it does include last year's really poor crop in that average. But I think it's kind of matching up with trade expectations at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, a new report from The Hill says that pharmaceutical, manufacturing, and agriculture interests have combined to spend over $400 million lobbying Congress on a new farm bill. The Union for Concerned Scientists says that more than four times the amount of money spent by the public sector and civil society. Gypsum's implementing a strategy to reduce costs by using longer trains and fewer staff. Class 1 railroads have reduced overall staff numbers by 30%. Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin called on the six Class 1 railroads to address those severe staffing shortages that she says are endangering workers, increasing the risk of derailments, and raising costs for farmers, businesses, and consumers. A Congressional Review Act resolution has been filed in both the House and Senate to overturn the Biden administration's rules on electric vehicle tax credits. Lawmakers argue the administration should be more aggressive in reducing dependency on battery minerals from China. While the CRA resolutions are expected to pass in both chambers, President Joe Biden likely to veto them. Meanwhile, Reuters reports Ford Motor is calling on suppliers to trim costs relative to electric vehicle components. I don't know. I'm losing track of this whole thing, man.
Dude, I don't know if I have ever seen a time when the consensus of Congress means less to a president.
Yeah. Biofuels firms pouring more than $1 billion into building China's first plants to turn waste cooking oil into sustainable aviation fuel for export and to meet domestic demand once Beijing mandates the fuel's use on airplanes to cut emissions. China is expected to unveil this year its policy on SAF use for 2030, which could spur billions of dollars of investment. Why don't we leave it there, Chip? Over to you.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. And, you know, China gearing up its production of SAF is very important because then they'll quit sending us the tainted cooking oil that is disrupting our veg oil markets right now. At least I would hope they would. All right, let's bring in Jennifer Shaik, editor of Farm Journal Sport. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Okay, so disease control is all about being prepared. And sometimes you've got to be prepared to get control of a disease if an outbreak happens. You recently got to take part in an exercise that we hopefully will never have to put into practice. Tell us about it.
Well, I was fortunate to have the opportunity. At first, I wasn't sure what to think about it, but I was part of a depopulation and mortality management exercise late last fall, and we finally have the story out. It took a lot of time because this is a hard topic to talk about in the mainstream, and not everybody understands why we would need depopulation, but I left feeling such a peace and knowing that our industry is really working ahead of this, because if we were to have a major catastrophe strike, we need a humane and effective way to quickly take care of a very hard thing that we sometimes have to do in livestock production. And so it was really incredible to see all the research that's been taking place in just the last few years since we've, you know, had all the threats of African swine fever increase, and just the professionalism and the manner in which all this has been conducted and thought about, from the practices, the availability of the materials needed, to the financial impact that it would have on producers, but also to the emotional impact that it would have on the people working with animals. And so the story really goes into all of these, the different methods they showed, and it's a great deep dive into an important topic that we need to talk about.
Yes, Jennifer, thank you so much for doing this story, because as I said, hopefully we will never have to see this put into practice on a widespread basis, but if it ever has to happen, this story explains why. www.porkbusiness.com. GT Thompson is next on AgriTalk.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Agriculture drives this country. Congress recently invested $20 billion in conservation practices.
These programs help small farmers better their practice at a cost that they can afford.
They've helped me to not only take care of my family, but to take care of the land.
Today, these funds are at risk. Congress, protect conservation funding in the Farm Bill and keep agriculture viable for future generations. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the Free For All. I'm Chip Flory. Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer joins me right now. How you doing, Jim?
Pretty good. This is a big day.
Absolutely, and it's a big day for the Chairman of the House Ag Committee, Glenn G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania. The details of the House version of the Farm Bill titled the Food, Farm, and National Security Act of 2024 had dropped earlier this morning, and he joins us right now. Chairman Thompson, welcome back to AgriTalk.
Well, Chip, Jim, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. A great day, and a great day for America's number one industry, agriculture, with the release of the text of this bill.
Excellent. Let's get to some of the details of the bill, Chairman, and start with Title I, the reference prices. It includes a 10 to 20% increase in reference prices for all commodities. That means that some reference prices are increased on a percentage basis more than others. Is that right?
No, that's correct. From the beginning of this, I felt strongly that we should always approach on what it needs to be done. Maybe not necessarily what we want. I kind of want to unlimit it sometimes. I kind of patterned after my prayers. When I was young, I prayed for what I wanted. And then as I got a little older, I figured out I ought to be praying for what I need, and God would sort it out. So we've done a lot of due diligence with working with the commodity groups and talking with the individual farmers and all that, spending time in all these fields across the country, 85 different listening sessions. And this Title I is really designed around what do each of these respective commodity groups need. You know, we haven't done an investment in Title I since, I think, 2002. Right. I mean, it is decades ago, and this is an important safety net. And I also want to remind, the American public that I think it was in the 2008 Farm Bill before I got to Congress, but it was one of them before I got. They pretty much gutted Title I in order to put funding into nutrition, and so this was long overdue. And I think that the commodity groups are. It appears they're all pretty happy with that we did this based on need.
You know, has leadership given you any potential timeline for House floor action on the Farm Bill, Chairman? Assuming the bill is successfully cleared from the committee next week.
Yeah, we're definitely going to report this bill out of committee on Thursday next week. I've met with leadership as recently as last Thursday. We sat down, we talked extensively about this. My recommendation with leadership is, the strategy to the floor, we need to wait and see what the vote is. I know it's going to pass, but the pathway to the floor, the strategy to use will, if it's a strong bipartisan bill, which it should be because, the great innovations within this bill came from both sides of the aisle. And quite frankly, even more importantly, from the agriculture industry itself. But if it passes with overwhelming bipartisan support, that's a potential one pathway. If it's, moderate bipartisan support, that would maybe, that would basically dictate maybe some other considerations. And if it was completely partisan, we'll still find a pathway to the floor. That would be unfortunate. I think anyone with any kind of type of, agriculture interest within their district, and that's every district from the standpoint of consumers, because we actually make investments and enhancements within the nutrition title. I think that to vote against this bill, I think they do that at their own peril.
Do you have any commitment from any Democrat chairman that they'll vote for it in committee?
No, I've got a lot of great feedback. I mean, I've had no hard commitment. I think that's because we've got. We've had, just for politics purposes, we've had Senator Stabenow and leader Akeem Jeffries. I get it. He's the leader of the Democratic House. I mean, they've been really, seems like they've been leaning pretty heavily, encouraging, no matter how good the bill is, that for the Democratic members of the committee to vote no on this bill for political reasons. I've got great members on both sides of the aisle. We have built this bill in a bipartisan way. The listening sessions, as you all witnessed firsthand, was attended by both Republicans and Democrats. And so I don't know how successful this leadership is going to be at holding the line on politics, when it comes to, providing those who produce, those who process, and those who consume back home what they need.
For the livestock listeners, what do you propose to deal with Prop 12, Question 3, and the other laws on the books?
A straightforward language. It honors states' rights, but states' rights are within intrastate. And so a state can choose, if it wants, I guess, to be like California, I mean, Massachusetts, where they dictate agriculture practices based on emotion, and then that's what happened, led by the animal rights organizations, who, quite frankly, are very effective at emotionally messaging. They can choose to do that, and that would certainly impact production standards within their states, but they cannot impact other states' production standards. So it's all that it respects states' rights. The other thing is this fallacy. I would say outright lie that they're really driven by the animal rights group. And there's a difference between animal welfare. Nobody does animal welfare better than farmers and ranchers. But there's a difference between animal welfare and animal rights. And they've been pushing this talking point that somehow with what we want to do with correcting this, really following the advice of the Supreme Court, who said, Congress has the ability to do that, and the Farm Bill is a vehicle to address this. They've been talking about how this plays into China, but nobody's been able to explain to me how this benefits China, with the solution that we put forward. So I'm really pleased with the language that we have within in this issue within the Farm Food and National Security Act.
Your expectations on amendments and how that is going to be handled on the Farm Bill going forward, Chairman?
Well, Bobby, I have lots of them. That's been my experience with the past farm bills I've been involved in. I look forward to managing that process. Every amendment that is filed correctly will and appropriately and on time will go to the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee will vet them, and then whatever the Rules Committee finds in order, those will be amendments that on Thursday will be brought up, debated, and we will vote on. And so, I got to wonder whether we'll have quite as many amendments. I know since we'll have amendments on, there's no doubt about it, and we'll probably have a lot of them. But I would hope with the exhaustive way, the comprehensive way that we've approached this over the past 3 years, bringing everybody to the table early, this farm bill, this chairman's mark, is just packed full of great ideas from both sides of the aisle. And, I didn't want to wait for the amendment process to bring people in. We did that from the very beginning. So maybe that'll reduce the overall amendments number we have, but I won't know that until the amendments are filed. And quite frankly, we'll see what the Rules Committee finds in order.
Okay.
Chairman, a few comments on the Senate bill, although I know it's not text yet. As I understand it, your House bill is budget neutral, but theirs is not. How much over the $1.51 trillion baseline do you think the Senate bill will be?
You know, I don't know. I've seen some of the analysis. I don't think, obviously, we don't have there's no real bill over there. There's just a combination of about a hodgepodge of different pieces of legislation is what was presented. I've seen that some estimates that maybe 10 to 20 billion over that 1.51 trillion over 10 years. We won't know until there's still text, until it's there. I do know, and I've confirmed that with, Sarah Stabenow, who's a friend of mine. We do work well together. We have our things we disagree upon, but that's to be expected no matter what. She has a promise of $5 billion pay for. Just in her ideas that, there's a lot of what she's presented, there's no pathway to pay for it at this point. I know she's still looking, and I've encouraged her to do that. I thanked her for, the momentum and movement that she's taken so far. And I promised her that we would send her a great bill from the House as a model to work around.
Good deal. Chairman Thompson, thank you so much for your time. We've got a lot of details that we're going to go through from the Farm Bill on the rest of the show today. We appreciate you and your willingness to share some of your thoughts on where this thing's going forward. But we're going to be talking about base acres, some potential changes there, improvements to crop insurance, payment limits, the supplemental coverage option, and all the changes that are included there. We've got some details of that coming up in the rest of the show. Chairman Thompson, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. And thank you thank you to the American farmer, rancher, forester, all the key stakeholders in rural America. I think this chairman's mark, when people actually take the time today or over the weekend to look at it, they're going to see it met my goal of being something that is highly effective for American agriculture and, quite frankly, in many senses, transformational.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you,
Jim Wiesmeyer, and I'll be right back.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beige, mixed trade in the grains. What's going on?
Yeah, I'll start in wheat. So we've got a pattern going this week, Chip, where we see price strength overnight, and then we get to daytime trading, yeah, and just dries up, and that's definitely the case here. So we're pulling back from the recent highs, about 4 to 6, 5 to 6 cents lower in most of the contracts at mid-morning, and while not overly concerning, because it's just a pause at this point, I think that market's going to need some fresh bullish news to move the next leg higher. And seasonally, with winter wheat harvest just around the corner, it's not a really good period for prices historically. The pressure on wheat is spilling over into the corn market.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, June milk up 34 to 21.46, July up 17 to 20.67, August up 10 to 20.19, September up 17 to 20.04. Live and feeder cattle markets moving higher as market fundamentals are strong heading into the end of the week as traders are confidently advancing the feeder and live cattle markets. No cash cattle trade has developed, but the feedlots seem fully committed to putting higher cash prices in as they continue to note the increase in boxed beef prices. Hog markets are not seeing the same level of support that the cattle market is as pork cutout values closed lower Wednesday afternoon. The cash hog market hasn't accomplished much this week and traders are just selling it off. June live cattle up $1.32 to $180.35. May feeder cattle up $1.10 to $245.95. June hogs now down $2.12 to $96.25. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets moving mostly lower on the day as a lack of fresh news to support the markets pressuring prices. Buenos Aires Grain Exchange did not change their corn production, even with all of the issues in South America. That's pressuring prices. Soybeans, though, they're moving mostly higher. Strength in some of the soybean oil contracts supporting the markets, along with the Buenos Aires Exchange lowering their soybean production estimates. And wheat markets are lower. New crop corn down 4 to 477 and 3 quarters. New crop beans up 4 and a quarter.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
In the world, and he's off to play in the PGA Championship, and the cops detained him. He's got mug shots. He's got everything this morning. Good grief. But he's on the course playing. So
That's good. He's the number one player in the world. It's the only way to prevent him from winning, Chip, is to have the police detain him.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Hey, let's keep the conversation going on this farm bill for just a little bit. Jim, the next big day for the farm bill is going to be Thursday, according to Chairman Thompson, because it looks like that's going to be when the committee vote is, right?
Absolutely. And he said it will clear with all the Republicans voting for it. But we just within the last few minutes, Chip, we got the press statement from the ranking member, David Scott. And to me, it was a political statement. He said the bill confirms his worst fears that and then he went on the nutrition funding and it just the criticizing the CCC language in it. So it looks like politics is going to be the barometer next Thursday.
Yeah, and he Chairman Thompson is hopeful that there's going to be bipartisan support for the bill coming out of the committee, but he is willing to go on a party line vote on the farm bill and take it to the House floor, correct?
Yes. And then, as he said, they want to, their strategy on the floor will be dictated in part by what vote, if they can get any Democrats to vote in the markup on Thursday. If not, then they won't rule out Democrats changing some of their attitudes on that. So I think it'll play out. But again, I tell in my speeches, you do not want to wait until next year, because that's when we're going to be talking debt.
Right, right. And I'm sorry, but the Democrats, I feel like, have already been given a directive on this farm bill to vote no. So if they don't vote no on this farm bill, their future is in question in the party.
Ideology over a bill. We're going to see. And then you still can't rule out a lame duck bill if this plays out.
Right. Haney?
Jim... Post-election, if it is a Trump victory, I will believe that he's going to be a fiscal hawk. I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah. I'm not sure he has it in him. But
he is a spender. That's true.
He is a spender. You got to spend money to make money, baby. One of the things that does catch my attention, when you think about an increase of $23 billion in crop subsidies, a 56% increase. That's a big number. Plus, Chip, I heard, I think it was yesterday's show where you were talking about, I know we're going to get to it, but potential, could we see some sort of like trade mitigation payments? Yeah. This is a lot of money being pumped into supporting farmers during a less than, a less financially good time than, say, 2-3 years ago. Indeed, but it's a big number.
Yeah. Yeah, that came up in the conversation with Arlen Suderman yesterday, and it was just one of those things that just, Jim, I don't know, what are your thoughts here? When you look at net farm income being off as dramatically as it is from a year ago, then you've got the Biden administration following the Trump playbook when it comes to tariffs on China. If they continue to follow that playbook, the next step would be direct payments to farmers, right?
Well, yeah, but using the CCC, but again, they put some guardrails on it in this House Farm Bill, but that doesn't mean they won't allow it. So, yeah, they'll do what they have to on farm income within the auspices of whatever authorities USDA and Congress has.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? If you go on, because I think the comparison is really good. Your discussion with Arlen was great yesterday, Chip. I think what it fosters, whether it's trade mitigation payments or any sort of subsidy that would help assist farmers is what you can expect when Biden does it. You're going to see the Trump double down.
Oh yeah.
You're going to do 100% tariffs. I'm going to do 300. Oh yeah. You're going to do 500 billion in MFP. I'm going to do a trillion, baby. I think that's the reaction that he's going to have.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how we get away from that in 2024 with the elections coming up this fall, Jim.
Not in 2024, but in 2025 as the year goes on, no matter who wins the White House and Congress, watch the bond market. If they think that it's devil, who cares about this debt, watch the bond market. That's the only boss Washington, D.C. has. And if they think their interest rates are high now, they'll go higher later. We are increasing our debt every 100 days by $1 trillion.
It's unbelievable.
A spend-happy Washington cannot go on overdrive.
But when you have...
Exactly.
When you have a part of spend-happy Washington, agriculture is always looked upon as a place to funnel that money.
Yeah.
In terms of keeping farmers afloat, and it's food and it's fuel, and there's a lot of justifications for it. If you all of a sudden pull that away, you back it off because we're going to be fiscal hawks, There's going to be some withdrawal. It is an abrupt change for even agriculture. So, you know, I think that's something to, Jim's got a good point. It's something to really keep a lookout for as we get into 25-26.
That's why you need an effective Title I safety net for crashes for the next few years, if they occur. And two, this is why you have to have a souped up on time biofuels program with the rules not coming out 21 months after. Oh. The law was passed.
Yeah, that's so stupid.
If you are processing those soybeans domestically for renewable diesel and SAF and all the things we've talked about, you don't need those trade mitigation payments with China because you're not as reliant on that market. And that gets back to the whole justification for the domestic push for that industry to see growth in the first place.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't do both. You can't say we're going to build this whole biofuel sector around renewable diesel and SAF, but then at the same time, oh, by the way, we're also going to trade mitigation. Boy, we're really double dipping as an industry if we're doing that.
Well, it is 2024. I wouldn't be a bit surprised by some double dipping as we go through the rest of this year. Jim, a couple of things from the farm bill conversation here. Base acres. There's going to be an opportunity to add new base acres, correct?
Yeah, an opportunity to add new base acres to farms that have no base chip or that have been planting in excess of existing base, but it doesn't modify or impact existing base acres. But we've reported before, this could mean another 20 to 30 million more base acres. So that's even more payments out there.
Yeah, yeah. And then on crop insurance, some additional support on the purchase of the supplemental crop coverage.
Absolutely. It's kind of a move away to temper the need for ag disaster programs. It doesn't obliterate it, but that whole farm revenue protection coverage increased up to 90%, specialty crop block grants, and it's all embodied, and also SCO will cover 90% of the expected county yield, subsidized at 80% chip, and that moves you into ad hoc disaster type programs without having to wait for Congress. So I think that's a very good move. GT called transformational.
Right. Okay. He also called the Senate bill a hodgepodge of legislation, Jim.
Yeah, it's about 100 bills gone together. We don't have the text. It's hard to score this thing. He admitted that. We had a special report on Pro Farmer this week that said the Stabenow bill of what we could make out of talking to veteran farm bill analysts was about $20 billion or more over the $1.51 trillion over 10 years. So where's that money coming from?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question on where it is coming from. Okay, so handicap this whole farm bill process for us now, Jim. Where are we? Where does this put us on the timeline? And where's the end zone?
Well, it'll be curious if the Republican leadership can temper the no votes by their own party in this bill, but we know that probably won't succeed. But I'm telling you, Chip, this is one of the better farm bills I've seen in a long time. It does indeed put the farm back in the farm bill, and it's going to be a test whether it's ideology versus practicality here. So we're going to see how it plays out. And my fear is that when you had the House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat from New York, urging the Democrats to vote against it in the House Ag Committee, that puts politics big time into this bill, and it's not a bipartisan approach.
And I'll make this note, is that I've listened to a few mainstream political policy shows, and when they talk about this farm bill negotiation, it's all about food stamp programs and how the potential of them being cut and being underfunded. The farming part never gets discussed.
That's right.
That's true.
Okay. Guys, we're going to keep the free-for-all going. We've got the wheat tour. We've got used cooking oil. We've got NOPA crush. We've got some other issues that we need to talk about. We'll do that next here on AgriTalk.
Sherry, what have you done to your hair?
What do you mean? Does it not look good?
It doesn't look good. It looks freaking amazing. I can't believe how thick and healthy it looks. Oh, I must know your secret.
No secret. It's hair volume from New Nordic.
Hair volume, huh? Well, it certainly lives up to its name. Your hair has never looked so thick. It is gorgeous.
I was so tired of having thin and brittle hair. Ugh, and the shedding. So I figured I'd give hair volume a try. Needless to say, I'm thrilled with the results. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to pick up some hair volume right now. My reunion's next month, and I want my hair to look as good as yours.
Hair volume is the best-selling hair tablet in the world and one of many award-winning natural health products from New Nordic, the number one supplier of dietary supplements in Scandinavia. Purchase at newnordicusa.com or your local Walgreens, Rite Aid, or CVS. Available as a tablet or delicious gummy. Help your hair look full, voluminous, and beautiful again at newnordicusa.com, Walgreens, Rite Aid, or CVS.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
Hey y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the free-for-all. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, pro farmer policy analyst, Sean Haney from Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, Davis Michelson with us as well. I want to start with this. I want to start with this on in this final segment. We've got some debates on the schedule, Jim. One coming up in June, another one in early September. What do you make of it? Some debates between Biden and Trump.
Well, I like debates, and I like them early before you actually vote for these mail-in votes that yep. hasn't been the case. And I like that there's not going to be a crowd there. I may want another one as opposed to CNN and ABC. I'd like a third one with Fox to keep it equal. But I will always argue in favor of a debate, and we're going to see, and the ability to shut them off at the mic. Actually, I think that helps Trump because he won't be able to bully like he did yes. when he lost to Biden in the last debate.
Yeah, somebody will protect him from himself.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, having them early, although very, you know, not how it's been as of late, with all the mail-in voting now, like this actually makes a lot of sense to have it so early. It's weird to have it before the conventions. That seems like super early.
Yeah, so, these are presumptive candidates.
Yeah, it's kind of a made-for-TV event. Let's sell some commercials. Some have speculated this is a bit of a test for Biden for a late pullout if he doesn't do well, but if I was the Trump side, I would maybe lighten up on the Biden camp, put two sentences together. Have you seen a mumbling? I would sort of stop trying to reinforce the low bar.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It did not help them when, you know, at the speech in Congress, right? So I think they should lay off on that.
You know, and one of the reasons Biden was quick to come out and propose these debates the way he did, they wanted Trump off the front pages with all these court images. Yeah. He was hogging it. So at least they changed it for a few days. I've been told that was a major reason, you know, for that. But I think he's behind in the polls, not by a lot. When you look at these polls, it's within margin error. So it's squeezy tight.
It is. It is. There's no question about it. And, you know, it's going to be strange to see the debate between two presumptive nominees. But that is just, you know, paperwork at this point and trying to figure out what's going to happen next.
And do they actually discuss, like, their thoughts on the direction and policy, or does it just get drugged into the mud from second one? And it's just like, why did I watch this?
Well, if Trump wants to get the independent voter who left him in 2020 back, he's got to talk about the future and not the past. If he doesn't, he'll lose.
Yep. Well, and the same can be said for Biden.
Yes, he can't justify trying to squeeze why inflation is not a problem, because that will be blasted as well, because Americans are feeling both higher interest rates and food. 30% of disposable income is spent on food.
Yeah, and this effort over the past week of Biden to shift the quote-unquote blame for the inflation over to Trump has been a failed attempt. That is not flying anywhere. No. Nobody's buying that. Nobody.
No.
So we've got the debates. One of the things that they probably aren't going to spend a whole lot of time on is trade issues, because there's probably more agreement between the Biden administration and the Trump administration on trade issues than what we've seen from administration to administration in the past. But here we are. We've got the tariffs announced earlier this week. Jim, what do you make of it?
Well, you heard what Sean said before to back that up of what he said when Biden came out with $100 million tariffs on these China cars. Trump came out a couple of days before and said 200.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, 100% versus 200%.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. On the percent, both parties have turned protectionist, and that's scary to me, Chip.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, Jim, you were in Chicago earlier this week. What did you learn?
The two big issues. One was the used cooking oil shipments from China, you know, and that cuts both ways. But I talked to users and, of course, the ag sector. They want to get at, they want to put tariffs on it. But, boy, the industry needs that used cooking oil right now, Chip. So that's a big issue in the industry, a double-edged sword. But the other one is, the question I got from everyone when I talked is, if Trump were to win, should we assume that he will get at some of these biofuel tax incentives and do away with them because Biden promoted them? And I said,
he said he would.
Well, here's your key, Chip. That's going to be up to Congress. And this is why. The Trump tax cuts end at the end of 2025, most of them. Aggies are going to want, Chuck Grassley is going to want the extension of some of these SAF, all these numbers, you know, the biofuel tax incentives. So don't necessarily rule out an extension for some of these biofuel incentives that end in 2027. The industry needs more durability for these incentive programs to have those programs really work. And I would think that's going to happen because Aggies need something in that tax cut bill.
We asked Senator Grassley about it early this week, and he's on board with you. Yeah, he wants to push it forward. Haney?
Yes.
Capital investors need the reassurance. They don't like political risk. They don't want to put, you know, millions of dollars into something to develop it and then find by just an election that, hey, sorry, we're pulling the rug out from underneath you. The capital markets need that reassurance.
Absolutely.
Certainly does. Certainly does. Guys, we're going to be keeping a close eye on the weather in the week ahead. We've got some rain in the forecast again for early next week. There's going to be some planning delays. I think we're probably going to have spent some time talking about those planting delays next Friday on the free-for-all. It's going to be a bigger story in a week than it is today. Great job today, guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Sure.
All the best,
all right,
everybody.
You bet. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Real Agriculture, Sean Haney. And Davis Michelson is going to be sticking around for this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing right here on AgriTalk.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month.
Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will